Yes, we are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. John Wall doesn't need no introduction. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick of the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you thought on the future of TikTok. Will Congress ban it? Or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album win Album of the Year? Will Biden's approval rating go up? Will it go down? Or inflation? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. You're smart. You know things. Bet on it. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/stereo. Spelled K-A-L-S-H-I and deposit $50. Kalshi.com/stereo. Get in the game. There is no guarantee of performance. An investor could lose their entire investment. Investment fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Boom! Brandon Bing and I am Rapport Stereo Podcast is here. Higgity, have no fear. Banging I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast in the place to be. On today's I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast, the young shooter is back to give us some much-needed levity. Dean Collins, Deuce Pacino, Deuce Cunnels is in the place to be. We're talking about the incredible performance I gave, the ground-shaking, earth-moving performance I gave as the biggest, baddest pickle the Masked Singer has ever seen. That's right, I was on the Masked Singer. In case you've been hiding under a rock somewhere, you should YouTube the clips right now, the pickle on the Masked Singer, and continue to listen to the podcast. We're talking about that. Obviously, we have to touch on everything that's going on in the world, and we're sending love, and how I actually fell in love with America's sweetheart, Mary Lou Retton. Well, that morning, hard-hitting, fully disruptive I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast coming up right now. Miles Jordan, a.k.a. the Bleach Brothers, a.k.a. the Dust Brothers. Start this puppy off with something real nice, yes. Start this puppy off with something real loud, yes. But most importantly, start this puppy off with something real funky. This is the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. Let's fucking go. Boom. Boom. Have no fear, the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast is here. Higgity, have no fear, the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast is here. Boom. Welcome to the Iron Dome of Disruption. Welcome to the Ziggity Zone of Disruption. My name is Michael Rappaport, a.k.a. the People's Pickle, a.k.a. the Inflamed Ashkenazi, a.k.a. the Gringo Mandingo, a.k.a. the Raging Bullshitter, a.k.a. Mr. New York. You are now rocking with the very, very best, the world's most disruptive podcast, the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast, coming live and direct. Without further ado, we're going to bring him right in here. They call him Deuce Cuddles. They call him Deuce Pacino. Okay? They call him Deuce Cuddles, and or some people call him Deuce Pacino. Why are you fixing your hair?
Because you told me that I needed to look presentable. I don't have a studio
light.
Yeah,
but I'm giving your intro and you're like, freak, I mean, what the fuck,
sorry, man?
It's not Beverly Hills 90210.
You told me to fix my hair. I was trying to get moisturizer on. I'm trying
but
to do everything
fix your
I can.
Hair before you come on the show. Like, I'm giving you your intro and you're like, I mean, what the fuck?
Sorry, man. I continue on with the intro.
I try, man. I try to come with an open heart, a generous open heart every time. And it's like you make it difficult. Without further ado, Deuce Pacino, Deuce Cuddles, the young shooter is back. Boom.
You act like you don't, you act like it's so miserable to have me back, but you want me back. You text me, can you pod? And then you do it and you're like, oh, without further ado, oh, you do this, oh, you do that. And it's like, you want me here. I'm happy to be here.
I'm not gonna argue that I'm not happy for you to be here. I'm happy for you to be here. But then when we start and I gotta look at you, like, you go through like your hair, like you're literally think you're Jason Priestley in his prime. You're not.
Okay, I don't think that. You just told me to fix my... You said before we started, you were like, is that how you want to present yourself?
Exactly. Before we started, you ain't Jason Priestley in his prime. You ain't never going to be Jason Priestley in his prime. There's nothing you can do to be a Scott Baio in his prime, to be John Stamos in his prime.
Finally, I recognize one of these fucking names. I mean, you're talking to a 90s baby here. I mean, like, Jason Priestley, fucking Scott Baio. This is not like someone to strive to be.
You don't know who
like.
Jason Priestley is?
I know the name, but what was this? What fucking, The Facts of Life? Was he on The Facts of Life? What show was he from your time? Laverne and Shirley?
You're asking me, huh?
Laverne and Shirley? Was he in Laverne and Shirley? Was he the heartthrob in Laverne and Shirley? Who is that? Jason Priestley. I'm fucking 33 years old, man. You got to start talking my language. I don't know who you're talking about.
My man, you're not a young buck anymore, homie.
I'm still young.
You ain't a young buck anymore, homie. The shooter's here. Deuce Collins is here. We have a lot to discuss. A lot.
Right.
We got a lot of pickles to cut up.
I mean, okay. Can we start with that? Can we just get right into Masked Singer? Because I have been keeping my mouth shut for about 2 months now. You've said in the beginning, you said, I signed an NDA. You can't tell anybody that I'm doing this show. I've been so excited that it's finally over. We now know that you are the pickle. You're unmasked. But I have been like, I haven't told anyone in my family, my friends, and we went to the set together. We had to wear those V. Stiviano shields on our face with sweatshirts that say, don't talk to me. I mean, it was like on some presidential shit.
Yo, that is extremely, extremely accurate. That was the hardest part of the Masked Singer experience. For those of you who have been, you know, living under a rock for the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 days, I was on the Masked Singer. I was incredible. I made it to the second round, and unfortunately, I got voted off. I went out in truly disruptive form. Nobody knew what was happening, but the non-disclosure aspect of it, they tell you not to tell anybody, you sign papers saying you're not going to tell anybody, and I ain't looking for another lawsuit.
I thought you were looking for another, I thought you liked lawsuits. You're like, bring on the lawsuits.
I don't like lawsuits. I don't mind beefs. Lawsuits, I'm not into. We already got one going, and it's arduous, it's a pain in the ass. So they say it's secretive. They say don't tell anybody. The only person who I told was my wife and you. I didn't even tell the Dust Brothers. I didn't even tell my kids. I didn't tell my sister. I didn't tell my mom. I didn't tell my dad. I didn't tell my brother. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell anybody because I was like, yo, they say don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. And I like to tell everybody everything.
Me too.
And I told you, and I was in LA for like 3 weeks, and people are like, why are you here? What are you doing here? Why are you here so long? And, you know, and I couldn't say I was working because we were on strike and we currently are on strike. And I was just like, you know, changing the subject. And, you know, finally the pickle's out of the jar, and that big pickle is out of the jar. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm the pickle. Yeah. And we had a great, great experience. But yeah, I mean, you know, the shooter was coming to the set. They give you the V. Stiviano mask. They give you these like extra, extra large hoodies and gloves. I mean, you can't everything. Even show, like, if it's a white person or a black, you got to cover. One day I think I had on shorts or, I don't know, sweatpants, and they're like, you got to cover all skin, or I had on flip-flops and you could see my white feet. And they're like, you need to wear sneakers and socks. And, you know, like, I was like, all right, okay.
And you can't leave the set, you know, and we were like, fuck, man, we're sitting in this trailer for like, I mean, we were there for like 10 hours sometimes. We were sitting in that trailer and we were like, well, let's just go outside and get some lunch and sneak off the set. And I mean, the second we snuck off that lot in Hollywood or wherever the studios were, there were a team of like 10 people following behind, like, what are you guys doing? You can't be on the sidewalk. I mean, it was high security. It was a fun time. And I was shocked that they voted you off because you were the most entertaining person on that show. And your ego is so massive as it is, and I don't want to stroke it anymore. And so I would be the first to tell, you know, I wouldn't say anything if I didn't think that you did a good job dancing, singing, but this is an avenue for you, and you really shined. I mean, you shined on this show. I mean, everyone else, there's a cow, there's a person who's in a costume who's a s'more. I mean, they were like fucking so boring, and you came out there, you shined, and we said, if they vote you off and if you get unmasked, we're going to go full Andy Kaufman. We're going to just
full disruption,
full meltdown,
full Iverson. That's it. We're not fucking around. Where are you?
Sorry.
Where'd you go?
Computer fell. Yeah, no.
Where'd you go?
Sorry. No,
I'm talking about being on The Masked Singer. Where'd you go?
Sorry about that.
Is the computer stable now?
Yeah, I'm just trying to.
I'm sharing my experience, the thrill of victory and the unfortunate agony of defeat. And you're dropping your computer.
I'm on my laptop.
Square yourself up.
Sorry about that.
But yeah, I mean, you know, I got to be honest with you. When I first got asked to do it, I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And then Kibi, my wife, was like, what the fuck? And I was like, I don't know. And I was like, I got to do a singing rehearsal tomorrow. She's like, what are you talking about? I was like, I know, I'm fucking, I was like, what the fuck? I thought I had made a huge mistake. I thought I had made a huge mistake, and we started doing the rehearsals on Zoom, and there's an executive, there's like somebody else, and there's a singing coach. I've never met them. I've never sang before, and they're like, will you try this song? And I think it was Journey. It was Any Way You Want It by Journey, which is not an easy song to do. Steve Perry's a falsetto voice, and I just start singing, and I'm like, what the fuck? But I kept practicing. I obviously didn't do, you know, Any Way You Want It by Journey. My first song was Pinball Wizard by The Who, the great rock band from the musical Tommy, the rock musical Tommy. And I was like, this is a song we're doing. And I was practicing that fucking song. I'd be on the streets of New York practicing that song.
You wouldn't shut the fuck up about it. I mean, you were fucking calling me at 2 a.m. my time. 5 a.m. your time, being like, yo, I need to practice this. Can you just hear me right? I was fucking sleeping. You're calling me in all fucking hours of the night. Like, I wasn't there to hear you practice. But then I started to get on my coach shit. I started to get on that shit. Who's the guy from Rocky?
You started to get on your Mickey shit?
Yeah, like, or Chubbs from Happy Gilmore.
Your Crimson Tide shit?
Yeah, some of that shit. I needed to get you in the right register because you were sounding like shit in the beginning. You were flat. You sounded awful, but we got you there with my coaching because I do take a lot of responsibility and credit for that. But you know, they're not fucking around. You're doing vocal warm-ups. You're doing exercises. We're doing we were doing that for fucking weeks on end, but we had to keep it tight-lipped. And, you know, it finally aired the second episode last night, the unmasking. I mean, me and my girlfriend were watching it in my house. And I mean, we were treating it like the Super Bowl. I mean, we got wings, we got chips, we got all candy. It was like the season finale of Succession is on. You know, we really wanted to prepare for this event. And I knew the outcome, unfortunately. But while that was going on live on the set, because you were battling it out with that s'more, and we could, you know, the audience started to turn on you. They started to get a lot louder for the s'more. They weren't really cheering for you as loud as I thought they were. And I was watching from the monitors with everyone being like, fuck, this guy might get voted off out here.
I knew before, I had a bad feeling before the SmackDown. The producers and the makeup people like got distant. Like they wanted to sever ties with me.
Well,
they got distant with me, and I was like, whoa, you were just so excited to like touch me up. And like, that's when I was word. Like, oh shit. I don't know what the fuck they got. I don't know what, how it works, but the competitive spirit in me, they had me thinking I was Mick Jagger out in that motherfucker.
That's what I,
and
that's what
so
I want to talk about.
So encouraging. And after the first rehearsal, like when we did the first rehearsal, and I'm in the pickle costume, which, by the way, is an extremely constraining costume. The s'more costume, the cow costume, I don't know, whatever else they got up there. They're able to move around. Mm-hmm. Tom Sandoval was the diver the week before. Sandoval from Vanderpump Rules got voted off before, which was fucking crazy because he was right next to us for like 2 or 3 days and we didn't get to talk to him because everybody's walking around in masks.
That was incredible. And that was like when the whole fucking crazy shit with Tom Sandoval happened too, because we know he shot this a couple months ago, but
the night before I went to Tom mm-hmm. to try to see Tom Sandoval.
Oh, yeah,
like, just because I've been rewatching Vanderpump, and then it turns out that Tom Sandoval's like in a trailer 10 feet away from me as the diver, and he got voted up.
We could have been chilling
with him. We could have been chilling with him the entire time.
We could have been talking about Ariana. We could have been talking about Bambi-eyed bitch in the mental hospital. We could have been really just like riffing with him. And he seemed like a nice guy.
We could have been talking about Schwartz and Sandys. We could have been chilling with Sandoval, but they had us secluded. They had him secluded.
It was bullshit, but I do want to just touch upon that. How you felt like Mick Jagger, because I saw a major shift in you and your personality and who you are as a being, because you started to think, I mean, you started to really believe that you sounded like Mick Jagger. And I mean, you're out there in a pickle costume doing, you know, Beverly Hills by Weezer, and you really thought that you were a part of the Rolling Stones at this point, because we're backstage, people are putting mics on your ears, people are, you know, touching you up with hair and makeup. And, you know, I've worked with you on sets and things like that, acting, but this was a whole other beast. And you know, people talk about, you know, you hear things about Mariah Carey and how she can only have an all white dressing room, or, you know, only red Skittles, don't put any of the purple ones in there. You were the male version of Mariah Carey. You were the biggest diva I have ever seen. So when you said that people got a little distant with you before that second song, I think they were scared of you because you really did not want to get voted off. And I think that you had made it very apparent, like, who you are and, you know, how shit will hit the fan if they do vote you off. And I think people were scared, but you were a fucking diva.
I'm going to be honest, and you were there. And my wife, I couldn't even tell her till the next day, but straight up and down.
Yeah.
Because after we performed, it was a Friday, and in my head, I was like, I'm going to go to the next round, and then we're going to go that night to In-N-Out Burger. I'm going to get a double-double animal style. I'm going to get double-double animal style cheeseburger, a chocolate milkshake, and I'm going to get myself animal style fries, and that's going to be my celebration from going from the second round to the third round. When they voted me off, and I came back to the hotel.
Were you on suicide
watch?
Yo,
I'm not gonna. It wasn't suicide watch, but I was.
You were hurt.
I was fucking
angry,
defeated. I was hurt for real.
I know you were. This isn't an act either. Like this is
no. This is straight up.
Because you're very competitive, and I didn't realize how competitive you are. But
I didn't realize how competitive I was either.
And crazy.
And the next day was a Saturday. And my wife was like, are you tired? I was like, I'm tired. But I wasn't because I was tired.
You were depressed.
I was depressed. Tired? I was like,
you didn't want
to
get
and
out
I had
bed.
To admit to her later. I was like, yo, I can't believe that I lost. Like, she was like, yeah, but you did good. I was like,
No, we were planning on having you stay in LA for months. We were planning on you going to the very end. And I thought for sure after that second song, Beverly Hills, I kept telling you, I was like, you're a shoo-in. There's no way they're going to vote you off. But you were voted off. It is what it is. We'll be fucking protesting. But you know what? You're going to take Robin Thicke's spot in the panel. We need you on the fucking panel. We need you as a judge because you bring that show a lot of joy and entertainment. You bring that to the masses. And you did a fantastic job in all seriousness. You really did. And everyone loved you there. So anyway, it is what it is. Let's try not to fucking think about it.
Nah, because when we start talking about the losing, it brings up and conjures up those old feelings
I hear you.
Of defeat. And I don't deal with loss Well,
I Am Rappaport Podcast.
We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. John Wall, baby, needs no introduction. Every week, the five-time NBA All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA and what's going on now in the league. CJ will bring his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John Wall will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show to give their unfiltered accounts of what's really going on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you thought on the future of TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album win album of the year? Will Biden's approval rating go up? Will it go down? Or inflation? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. You're smart. You know things. Bet on it. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/stereo. Spelled K-A-L-S-H-I and deposit $50. Kalshi.com/stereo. Get in the game. There is no guarantee of performance. An investor could lose their entire investment. Investment fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Yo, it reminded me of when I was coaching my kids' basketball team, which, you know, if there had been a podcast back then when I was coaching my kids' basketball team from when they were about 8 to 13, that would have been incredible because the competitive spirit that I had wanting them to win and then having to be like, oh, yay, after we lost, and wanting to be like these fucking little shits. They fucking beat our, fuck them. The other team, the other coaches, the referees, fuck you.
There's a movie in that. There's got to be a movie with you coaching some fuck. I mean, that's kind of like the Will Ferrell movie, Kicking and Screaming with the soccer team, but they need to update that because I've seen you coach some like 10-year-olds and it's comedic gold there. But you get fucking, you take it seriously.
And like, you know, I put time into it and I just did not think I was going home. I was like, at least if I make it to the finals, I could accept that.
Right.
I could. And you brought up Rocky and I felt like Rocky. I felt like Rocky. I felt like Rudy. I felt like I was the underdog. But the people knew Big Dill energy is a real thing. It wasn't Pete Davidson, Big Dick energy. I brought that Big Dill energy. I brought it to the people. I brought it right to their laps at home.
Mm-hmm.
This is a family-friendly show. So it was a great experience. If you guys didn't get a chance to watch it, go on YouTube and look up The Masked Singer Pickle, and you're going to go, holy shit. There is, and to everybody that's been DMing me who listens to the podcast, number one, I've seen all the DMs. Number two, I couldn't respond because of the non-disclosure agreement. Number three, I'm still in suspension from responding to. I'm in the hole. So some of you guys who listen to the podcast, you've been DMing me about Israel. You've been DMing me about the pickle. And you go, I know you can't respond, which I appreciate that. It's the ones that I say it over and over and over. And I put the message, I can't respond. And they're like, yo, I sent you a message. Yeah, did you see it? I'm like, what the fuck, man? It says right there.
Point,
I can't.
You know, it's just like, I don't know what's going on with your brain. He says you can't respond. But I am proudly wearing my Birthright Israel sweatshirt because I went on Birthright for 2 weeks. I extended my trip. What's going on is fucking horrific. And, you know, I don't know if you want to get into all that, but you've been a major ally talking about it. You've been speaking up about it, which is great. Everyone is so silent when it comes to the Jews. And, you know, this is something, it is fucking horrible.
The only thing I will say about it today on the podcast, and I say this all the time about news, the one thing that I will say today is do yourself a favor. If you think Fox News is ridiculous, watch Fox News. If you think CNN and MSNBC are ridiculous, watch CNN and MSNBC. If you think Ben Shapiro is a joke and a racist, watch Ben Shapiro and vice versa. If you think John Oliver is a snowflake, watch that. Follow AOC. Follow Dan Bongino. Follow and listen to as much information regarding this Israel situation, this Gaza situation, this Hamas terrorist group situation. And even after you do follow, read the Wall Street Journal, the Daily News, the New York Post, you're still going to go, I don't totally understand. But if you're only getting one source, one side of the story, you're not getting the full story. And even if you put a wide net out there, it's so complicated and so there's so many details to the history that you still won't have a full grasp of it. But that's the one thing I'll say about it today. And I mean that with all sincerity. I've also learned this week, and it was very apparent during the pandemic, that how much the public school education system of New York and the public school education of my 1 year at Fairfax High School and the private schools that I went to, how much they failed me. And if I was the parent of Michael Rappaport, I would want my money back. Oh. I'd be looking for a lawsuit because I am so uneducated.
Oh, me too.
And the fact that I am on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and all these other social media platforms, listening to people like myself, listening and watching charts from, like, you know, influencers, getting speeches and so forth and so on, that I'm getting educated about real life world history from people on TikTok just goes to show how truly uneducated I am. It's a goddamn shame.
And America. I mean, not just you. I mean, it's fucking everybody. That's me too. It's really sad. That's how we're getting our news and information. I mean, it's pathetic, but you know, I'm trying to stay informed, but at the same time, it's a lot. It's a lot of horrible shit. And it's very upsetting. It's hard to look at all of it, to be honest with you. You don't want to turn a blind eye, but it's just, it is really, really upsetting. So
very upsetting, very upsetting, very, you know, and the loss of life, you know, from so many innocent people is just overwhelming. And if this whole thing stopped today, if the attack on Israel was to stop and the hostages were released and Hamas was evaporated today and so forth and so on, this has just perpetuated so much more dislike, disdain, hate for the Jewish people and Israel around the world. And that really sucks.
100%.
It really sucks because if everything stopped and there was no more bloodshed, the fact that it happened, for some reason, there's always a way to spin it on the Jews suck. I hate the Jews and the Jews suck. And this has just reestablished that, reinvigorated that, re-educated people to continue to hate and perpetuate so many stereotypes and so much disdain and hate for the Jews. And I'll say for Palestinians as well. And Hamas is a terrorist group. Palestinians are, you know, the people from Palestine. But let's be clear, Hamas is a terrorist group.
Right.
Hamas is a terrorist group. But the amount of Jew hate, we've talked about it all the time on this podcast. The amount of Jew hate, and this is why when motherfuckers like Kanye West perk up.
I was just going to say, fuck Kanye West. Fuck his music. I can't listen to him. Exactly. Go on with what you're saying, because fuck him.
No, like a motherfucker like him, like the shit that he was doing just last year, you know, perpetuating all this shit and perpetuating all these lies and perpetuating all these stereotypes about Jewish people. This is why somebody like him needs to be, you know, be shut the fuck down exactly. Off the top. But, you know, all I could say is I want peace. I know it's extremely complicated history. I want peace. I want everybody to thrive. I want, you know, I don't want to see any more violence. But unfortunately, this is a situation that Hamas has gotten the world into because they are terrorists. They are terrorists, and they were voted in to control that part of the country. And it's a fucking shame. And it's a fucking shame. And I'll also say this. As far as misinformation, disinformation, there's tons of it.
Yeah.
There's fake videos. There's videos that are floating around that are from video games. There's this, that, and the third. The one thing I've never seen, you know, there's, you know, whether or not babies were killed or babies were burned. They question that. They question, you know, the information of the tragedy and the carnage in Israel. But no one ever questions the carnage of the innocent, and they are innocent, the innocent people on the Gaza Strip. How dare you question if what happened in Israel is accurate? How dare you question? That's like questioning a 9/11. That's like questioning what Timothy McVeigh did when he blew up that federal building. That's like questioning what happened in Buffalo when that person went in and shot all those innocent people in that supermarket. How dare you question that? And they only question it when it's in regard to Jewish people. They only question that. When they're showing the carnage in Gaza, no one's saying, is that real? Is it staged? What happened? They don't do that. So, like I said, the other thing I say is really try to watch as many different points of view as possible, including ones from people that you quote unquote don't like or don't respect or don't fuck with.
Yeah, well said. I am Rappaport
Podcast. We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the Draft King's YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. John Wall, baby, needs no introduction. Every week, the five-time NBA All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA draft, John Wall will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA and what's going on now in the league. CJ will bring his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John Wall will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show to give their unfiltered accounts of what's really going on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you thought on the future of TikTok. Will Congress ban it? Or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album win Album of the Year? Will Biden's approval rating go up? Will it go down? Or inflation? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. You're smart. You know things. Bet on it. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/stereo. Spelled K-A-L-S-H-I and deposit $50. Kalshi.com/stereo. Get in the game. There is no guarantee of performance. An investor could lose their entire investment. Investment fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, you fuck with a Theragun?
No, I know that's like a staple for you on the road, and you're doing it right now.
I love my Theragun.
You're doing it right now.
I've had a Theragun from the beginning. the OG Theragun I first had. I got the first Theragun. I have my mini Theragun. I have another mini Theragun. I heard they just came out with a super Theragun.
Is this a sponsor? Or is this,
no.
Is this a sponsor? Or is this truly... This is coming from the
you
heart.
You just said I bring it with me on the road.
No,
not
true.
Only do I bring it with me on the road, I do it on the plane now. I do it on the car rides. When I'm performing, and I am performing next week in Chicago, this is
a promo. I can feel it.
This is a promo.
I can feel it.
Me talking about Theragun is not a promo, but me telling the world that I am on the road and I am performing in Chicago the 10th, October 20th, and October 21st in Chicago, October 20th, October 21st in Chicago at the City Winery. That, my friend,
like
is a promo.
I like that segue.
And I am performing in Vegas the 2nd and the 3rd of November, okay, at the Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club. And I am on tour the rest of the year and into January. All tickets, all information is available at michaelrapportcomedy.com. That is a promo. Me talking about a Theragun, no promo. I bought this with my money. I was gifted one of the first OG Theraguns. And I still have it. That thing's like a drill.
Yeah.
It's
I remember
loud.
Those. I kind of need one for my neck because I can only go so far, like, turning my neck. Maybe it's my age now. Maybe that's like a fucking thing when you hit 33, but my neck is fucked.
Get yourself. They're not that expensive.
I'll get it.
Get yourself a Theragun and keep the receipt. But you ain't going to need the receipt because I'm telling you, this mini jammy right here, I am telling you right now, yo, I travel with this thing. On the ride to the airport, I use it. In the airport, when I'm waiting, I whip this puppy out. It's not loud. On the plane, I whip this puppy out. And when I'm waiting for my bags, I got this puppy. And then when I'm in the car ride, I got this puppy. And then, of course, before shows, hotel life, when I'm podcasting, I use this puppy.
I mean,
puppy.
This is the best commercial for Theragun they're going to get.
It ain't no commercial
because
I don't get it for free.
I'm just saying. They should. Hopefully, they're listening. We should reach out. I don't want to be here on the other end when you're doing it. You know, it's one thing to enjoy, but I don't need to hear those sounds.
What, are you getting aroused,
no,
sicko?
No, I'm not getting aroused.
You getting aroused,
no.
Sicko?
Are you getting aroused? You want to do that with me on the fucking other end of the screen here? Because I don't want to be here for it, but...
I want to say this.
Say it.
As of the recording of this Iron Rapport Stereo podcast, the Screen Actors Guild's negotiation with the producers has come to a halt.
Yep. Saw that.
It's come to a halt. And I don't know the details of it. It's been a very, very hard week stomaching everything that's going on in Israel. So I haven't gotten fully up to speed, but I heard from my SAG person, and he just said, we've come to a halt. And I just can't understand how the directors had a deal quickly. The writers finally got their deal. And now you don't want to give the actors their deal. I am demanding that Margot Robbie, who just made a movie that's worth $1 billion, Leonardo DiCaprio's got a film coming out. He can't promote it with Robert De Niro. Denzel had a movie to come out. George Clooney and those guys, they need to get with SAG and be like, we're going to go in there on behalf of SAG and negotiate with you. We need our big stars to negotiate with the SAG negotiators. They need to get in front of these producers and tell them, you motherfuckers are replaceable. You motherfuckers are replaceable. You can't replace Margot Robbie. You can't replace, what's my man Ken's name? Ryan Gosling.
Right.
You can't replace Denzel Washington. You can't replace Bob De Niro, Leonardo DiCaprio. You can't AI the jawline of Brad Pitt. That fucking jawline, there's no CGIing that jawline. Those big actors need to get in there and stand with the actors publicly and physically get in front of these producers and say, yo, you gotta give us what's fair, because this is some bullshit.
Get on that unit.
Because now you got the writers writing, but there ain't no shit to be made.
They need to get on that United Nations fucking Supreme Court shit, get them all together. The writer should have been like, we're not making a deal until you do a deal with the actors. We should have had solidarity between the two. I think that would have been good, but fuck it.
Well, I thought we had solidarity.
Not, clearly not. They're like, fuck it. We got our deal. You guys are in the trenches.
Well, yeah. Like, you know, and they're like, oh, yeah, the writers are still with you.
No,
you ain't still with us. And I get that. I get that, yo, everybody got to get paid. Everybody wants to do this shit. But you ain't still with us because you motherfuckers are back to work, respectfully.
Right. Anyway, well, I like that you're rocking your Star of David, and I'm rocking my Birthright sweatshirt, and we're all here in solidarity, and it's been a fucking rough time. It's been a rough few days for everybody. Feels like we're in a recession to work. This has been a hard time. This has been a really fucking difficult time for people, but hopefully there's some light at the end of the tunnel. Keep our fucking heads above water and just keep trekking away.
Is what it does.
It sucks big. Yeah.
It sucks big elephant dick.
Now, I was trying to do it in like kind of a therapist way, you know, but you can do the way that you do it. That's why we're here listening to the podcast, because that's...
I'm not doing it in a therapist way. That's why I do the podcast, so I don't have to do... Listen.
Right.
Listen, I got my mood stabilizers.
Yeah, how's that going?
I got some... This guy tried to put me on lithium. I'm like, well, what the fuck?
I say bring it on. Fucking take the lithium, take the Xanax, take the Prozac, take the fucking Klonopin, get on some of that fucking Zoloft. Like, throw it all at you. I think you need all of it. You're saying the doctor tried to put me on no shit. Everyone wants you on that shit. I want you on that shit. Your wife wants you on that shit. I think it'd be beneficial for everybody, the whole world. Stop ranting and fucking raving and your anger issues and all that bullshit. It's time to just chill the fuck out. And you need to be on a horse tranquilizer. You need that ketamine. You need whatever it is. Because you say, oh, I'm at 10 milligrams. It's too high. Bump it up to 150. You need it. And that's the sad part is you're too mentally ill to realize that you don't need it. You think you don't have a problem. But I'm here to tell you, you do have a problem. And it's taking a toll on all your loved ones. So bring it on. I say fucking throw the medication at you. I'm off of everything. I'm off of all of my Zoloft. I'm off of all of my antidepressants, and I'm doing just fine.
Who says who?
It says me. Maybe I'm fucking meds.
Says you.
Maybe we both need
to be. Says you.
Maybe we both need
says
to be locked
you.
Up.
You need to get re-diagnosed, homie. You don't sit there and diagnose me and try to tell me about myself. Says who?
Okay.
No one's saying, oh, this. You're some treat
people
to
say
be around.
That I seem a lot brighter and a lot happier, and they say you seem like you're doing better than ever this year. This is just what the
thank
people
you.
Are saying. No, it's not thank you. I'm not telling you that. I'm saying that's what people are telling me. It's not a compliment to you. No, people are saying, I seem like I'm doing better than ever without the medications. Don't say thank you.
I thought you meant me.
Absolutely not. Raise the shit. Raise the dose.
Pivoting to something that is really, really also upsetting. Olympic champion, the great Mary Lou Retton, is suffering from a rare form of pneumonia and allegedly reporting... it's reported that Mary Lou Retton is fighting for her life. And that hit me in my heart. No bullshit.
Does she sing, Loving You is easy because you're beautiful. Do, 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 do.
Did you just ask me if Mary Lou Retton sings the Minnie Riperton song?
Oh, sorry. No, there's nothing to joke about. I got them confused. I thought,
what the
I thought,
fuck is I thought the matter that with that was, you? What the fuck is the matter with you, man?
I thought that was Minnie Riperton.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Mary Lou Retton.
You're asking me if Mary Lou Retton you got Mary Lou Retton and Minnie Riperton confused?
That's easy. That's an easy.
No, it's not easy. Mary Lou Retton, the Olympic champion, America's sweetheart, who in 1984 and 1985, I was literally in love with. If you haven't read my book,
this book has balls.
This sports rants from the MVP of Talking Trash.
Because you're an author, too.
Soon to be New York. What's
you're
that?
You're an author, too. I forget that you're an author.
Great book.
It's funny
one
that
of my
you're,
chapters.
You're an, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but it's funny that you're an author and you wrote a book, but you can't distinguish there from there and your
that's
and
true.
Your. I don't know how that works. Mm-hmm. I guess anybody.
I've gotten
guess
better
all,
at your.
We're all authors.
I've gotten better at you, yours, and yours.
Your and your and there and there. I mean, that's incredible.
That I don't
that's
know.
Incredible.
There and there is a crapshoot.
And you wrote a book. You see, guys, anything is fucking possible.
Kevin Garnett voice.
Amazing. Anyway, continue. Sorry, no disrespect.
Mary Lou Retton, I was in love with her in 1984, 1985. I wrote about it in my book, This Book Has Balls, Sports Rants from the MVP of Talking Trash. I literally... watched every single performance of hers, every competition of hers. And this is during the 1984 Olympics. This is Michael Jordan's first Olympics. Patrick Ewing, Wayman Tisdale, Chris Mullen, Carl Lewis Olympics in L.A., Edwin Moses. I believe it was, what's the one with the long fingernails? She passed away. It was a great Olympics. 1984 Olympics was a great, great Olympics for America. A lot of great characters. A lot of great stars were born. And I never watched gymnastics in my life, but somehow I like everybody else, started watching Mary Lou Retton at the United States gymnastic team. And I literally, I'm 14 at the time, I literally fell in love with her the summer of 1984. I had all her posters on my wall. I had her Sports Illustrated cutout. I had her People magazine. I remember watching her on Johnny Carson that I believe was hosted, guest hosted by, with Joan Rivers at the time.
Wow. You were on some stalker shit. I
loved her. Oh, straight up.
I mean, that's like what a person does before they like storm the stage and they're like, I thought we were talking on Instagram. Like, don't you remember me? Like, you were on some of that shit before that was like a thing. So were you so impressed with her athleticism, or was it like you were just in love with her?
I was in love with her bubbly personality. I loved her ass.
Okay.
Now I am 14 at the time, so I'm not.
I got you.
Now I'm not disrespecting or being weird with it. I'm saying, but at four, I loved her personality. I loved her flips. I loved her haircut. She had the little bangs haircut. I just loved how just she seemed to have so much joy. She loved performing, and I was so out of my mind, so in love with Mary Lou Retton that in the winter, I believe it was December or November of 1984, there was a gymnastics exhibition. It wasn't even a performance. I mean, it wasn't even a competition at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, God, you showed up. Oh, man, creepy.
I never wanted to be in gymnastics. I went there. There was nothing but gymnastics people, like, you know, girls my age, boys my age, but they were gymnasts, gymnastic teams, and me, Michael Rappaport, wearing a burgundy turtleneck, burgundy jeans, and my belt buckle that said White Mike.
Oh, man. If I was security, I would have had a field day with you. I would have thrown your ass out so quickly. I would have been like, this guy is about to do something like really alarming coming up here. We don't know what this guy's capable of, but get him the fuck out of this building. He's got posters. She doesn't know you exist, brother. She didn't know you, and you're showing up to her fucking competitions and shit. Oh, so this started at an early age for you. This started at 14 for you. Okay, now we see the progression. That's on some creepy shit. There's a lot that I'm learning about you, which is good. It's good to know these kinds of things about your friends. But anyway, continue with the White Mike belt buckle that you wore at the fucking Madison Square Garden competition.
To answer your question, no, I didn't get arrested.
Thank God.
But at a certain point, like halftime of the exhibition, they let all the kids. Now, Grant, I'm 14, so I'm technically a kid, but I'm nuts. Mary Lou Retton is 16, and I'm like doing the math. I'm like, she's 16, I'm 14. She's in the,
you know,
probably the 11th grade. I'm going into the 8th or 9th. I'm out of my fucking mind. Like, I'm literally like, yo, I'm going to go down there. I had my cologne on. I'm going to go down to the, and I'm going to tell her, I don't know what I'm going to tell her, but I'm going to tell her I love her, and like, I'm going to get her phone number, because at the time you get phone numbers. And like, we're going to go out where I don't know. I got there on a fucking subway and a bus to Madison Square Garden. And at one point, they let all the people, mostly children, like myself, I was 14 again. I don't want to creep anybody out. They let all the fans down there who were all gymnasts. I'm the only one who's wearing a burgundy turtleneck, burgundy, jeans and a White Mike belt buckle. And I'm like staring at her, and God is my witness. She's coming close. Her brother was her security. I believe her brother's name was Sean. Because I learned about the whole family. Because, you know, like, I have to get along with the brother.
Right.
What's that?
No, because that's like in the stalker handbook. You got to learn about the family. You got to get acquainted with the cousins. Get your fucking doctor on the phone. Get that lithium going ASAP. Should have started fucking 10 years old. But yeah, so it sounds like you still have a thing maybe for this woman. I mean, she's fighting right now, and she doesn't want to hear from you. She's been fucking dealing with you since she was 14, 16 years old.
Mary Lou Retton has been fending me off since 1984. The thing that fucked me up when I heard this is that Mary Lou Retton doesn't have health insurance. If you win a gold medal for the United States, you should be covered.
That's crazy. It's like when you hear about those Oscar winners like Ellen Burstyn, who like won a fucking Oscar for Requiem, or maybe she didn't win, but she's like, she can't pay her rent. It's like, how is that a thing?
Yeah, it's crazy. So anyway, Mary Lou Retton, just know that I've always rooted
for
you.
She knows. She's aware. We're hoping that you didn't give her any kind of fucking health problems at this point. It's been a long time now that she's been aware of you. And we're all wishing her the best, but let's just put out that positive energy. And maybe you don't have to do too much. Maybe you just stand out by the sidelines and just wish her best from the sidelines, because you probably still know all the names of the people in her family. And
Sean, her brother Sean.
Right. Anyway. Well, it's been fun, man. And it's
only you, Mary Lou. I'm sending you strength. And to all the people that are listening, that have had people that have been affected, I know there's been a lot of nerves, a lot of nervous energy, you know, for the Jewish people, to all the people out there that have had a rough week. God forbid there's anybody who's had anybody that's lost anybody. You know, always just know that the main objective of all the shit talking on the podcast is to give you a break from your thoughts and give you some of my disruptive energy. And hopefully you could use some of my disruptive energy in a positive way. And I mean that with all sincerity. And on that note, the young shooter, you're always welcomed. We never know when you're going to be here. We never know when you're not going to be here. Well, we never know when the fuck. What?
No, we're always excited to be here. And you told me, you called me today. You said, you want to do the pod? I said, let's do it in 5 minutes. I'm always down to be here. This isn't a fucking chore for me to be here. I want to do this every week. So anyway, I'm happy to be here. Glad we talked about everything. Check in on your Jewish friends. Even if you aren't Jewish, check in on your Jewish friends. This is a really, really difficult time for a lot of people. And don't be silent. And don't just, you know, say, oh, this is terrible, and just continue on. Like, check in on people. And this is a major tragedy. So anyway, that's all I have to say.
Tell a friend to tell a friend to listen to the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. Miles Jordan, a.k.a. the Bleach Brothers, a.k.a. the Dust Brothers. Take us out of here with something real nice. Take us out of here with something real loud. But most importantly, end this puppy with something real funky. This is called the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. Oh, fucking yeah. I'm out.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you thought on the future of TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album win album of the year? Will Biden's approval rating go up? Will it go down? Or inflation? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. You're smart. You know things. Bet on it. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/stereo. Spelled K-A-L-S-H-I and deposit $50. Kalshi.com/stereo. Get in the game. There is no guarantee of performance. An investor could lose their entire investment. Investment fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.